Okay, thanks, Andy. You've set me up a little bit there, a bit humorous. I didn't have any jokes, but I'll maybe see where I get to when we talk about this. I do have a reputation for prancing around the stage, so if I end up over there, forgive me, but it's just to try and get across a few points. I also do have a reputation for being a bit provocative. Maybe I shouldn't have said that stood up on the stage. But, and a little bit thought-provoking. I'm going to try and make this thought-provoking, not too provocative, but also show you some practicalities, because what I'm going to talk to you about is how social networks are actually failing at the moment, and the Facebook changes that we've seen, and I'll only mention Facebook hopefully no more than five times, so I hope somebody's counting. There's somebody throwing something at me in a minute, won't there? But I think the Facebook changes that we saw, was it last week or this week? One week rolls into the biggest pile of rubbish that I have ever seen in business, to be frank. And I'm going to try and explain a little bit why. But essentially, I think over the next 2 to 3 years, the main social networks, which they aren't social networks, or they won't be in the future, they're actually ad networks, they're marketing channels, they're just TV in a different guise. but how we're going to have to, as consumers, customers and brands, change these social networks in terms of our behaviour and our attitude to them, or we're going to have to create our own around our own brand hubs. So I'm just going to throw this out to you. It's based on not just theory, but empirical research as well, and a little bit of my own concept. And I'll also explain to you a little bit about what we've been experimenting down in the Southwest around our brand over the last 2 years. We've spent around £50,000 in investing in some R&D around social networking, because we recognised then how the social networks were starting to fail as we saw it. So what I actually believe is that, let's talk about the big three, Facebook, Twitter and LinkedIn, which all do very different jobs for each individual person, as well as brands, because they are different behaviours, different groups of people with some similarities, but different groups of people. Facebook's very personal, Twitter is very business orientated, LinkedIn is just a big repository for some CVs, if we're frank. Sorry, there's nobody from LinkedIn here, is there? Has anybody got a Ford Focus, a new one? Because I'm going to insult you in a minute as well. But anyway, I forgot about that insulting bit, but there you go. So I believe, or we believe, our research is starting to show that all we're doing is creating with these social networks is a whole load of silos. I work with some very large organisations across the UK, and they have silos. One of our jobs through social leadership is to try and help them talk to one another and work together and innovate together. And what we essentially have is we've got Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn and any others that you want to carry on. That's why the changes that Facebook have brought in last week that say they're going to get us to change and to be able to interact with each other are rubbish, because Facebook is a closed network, and I'll explain a little bit more about that in a minute. But also, and we're starting to see that with Twitter now, with sponsored ads, is that social networks are becoming actually ad networks. Okay. Facebook was originally set up, that's three times I've mentioned it, was originally set up because Mark Zuckerberg, although a very clever person from an algorithm point of view, was in the right place at the right time. The same as Steve Jobs and Bill Gates will admit to the fact that they were both born 1954, 1956, something like that, and they were in the right place at the right time in the early 90s, so certainly in the 70s when they were at university. And it's the same thing with Mark Zuckerberg. Very clever person, but in the right place at the right time. The reason why we're starting to fail in these social networks is because they're starting to change and starting to move and shift in a different way. A lot of them were set up for you and I as individuals to talk to one another and have conversations, whether that was private or personal, one-to-one, or whether it was from a business point of view. They are now shifting the focus, rightly so, because these are corporate organizations, they are businesses, they work in a capitalist society, most of them, because they're in a Western society. They are shifting to the people that are paying them money. So they are shifting to being pulled by the brands that are actually obviously adding the revenue to the company. So all the changes we saw last week to that company, that organisation, weren't based on you and I, no matter what they say. It was based on how much more revenue they can get out of us. So what's actually happened? You know, we've been talking, I don't know where you, you know, obviously we're all from different industries, but what we've been saying in the past is that from the 50s onwards, it was very much about the sale and then build the relationship. And about four or five years ago, suddenly it turned on its head, and from the social networks, we could build the relationship first, and then we could make the sale. It's switching back. We can see it before our very, very big eyes. And it's interesting what's going on. So what we're actually seeing now is these big three aren't social networks anymore. They are actually ad networks. They're TV companies, contemporary modern TV companies, where actually, yes, people are still having conversations and having some quite blatant conversations. Or is that just my friends? What we need to look at is that social networking isn't anything new. Seriously, we've been doing this since the year dot. You only have to go and study the Roman Empire when they started to build Rome over thousands of years, or a couple of thousand years, to see how social networking went on. Actually, what we're doing now in our daily lives, we're just trying to reinvent the wheel. We think we've invented social networking, but we actually haven't. We might have invented it online, but actually if you look at all of the social behavior that happens online, it's been happening offline for years. All it's doing is being replicated online. That's what the research is showing. Okay, so that makes it different, doesn't make it any different, but it does, because we know online amplifies. We know it has bigger reach, it has bigger spreadability, etc., etc. I've put this little model up. I'm not going to focus on this because we're not talking about leadership today. But this is our model for where leadership is going in the future, because we do a lot of leadership stuff with large institutions. And in the middle of there is social capital. And what we tend to do is we relate social networking to social media. Social media is just the channel. Social networking is far, far more related and synergized with social capital. And the best thing that you can do, or one of the things I would recommend that you go away and do, is go and get an introduction to social capital that was written by a social scientist, a reputed social scientist, one of these guys, from the 1970s, from the 1990s, 1995, Halpern, I've forgotten to put him there, he's 2005, 1991. Go and read those books and you'll go, oh my God. So we weren't the first generation to invent sex either. I think that was an attempt at a joke. Okay. If you look at all of this research, they all say some different things and all come at it from a different angle. But social capital is built around two things. Now, remember, this is very closely related to social networking. And it's around two areas, closed networks and brokerage, or you might want to call it bonding and bridging. It depends which social scientist or which model or concept you look at. But what they're doing is essentially saying the same things. We know all of this. We know that social networks online stimulates what's happening offline. But actually, more importantly, what's happening offline is actually stimulating what's happening online. We tend to think in this world of being online, and I put my hand up and admit it as well, that we only exist online now. Actually, it's the other way around. People and groups who do well are somehow better connected. And when we mean connected in closed networks as well as in brokered networks. Business model based on network size will be inefficient. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg said that in F8. I thought it was a new Grand Prix that we'd invented, but F8, he said, we last 5 years was about growing numbers, now it's about engagement. I'm not quite sure, when all of the science says you can't engage Starbucks with 24 million people, you are broadcasting. The science says you can't have a network any more than 150 people. if you want to have a dense, and I mean that in a positive sense, and an intimate relationship with people, building relationships. And all of the social networks and the way in which we are measured in terms of our influence, Andrew and I were having this conversation just before you all came in, is all based on closure, on closed networking, not the brokerage end. And there's a reason for that. Closed networks are the things that we all work in, like teams and groups, families, our friends, hence Facebook, Twitter, our 2,000 followers. Yeah. Our LinkedIn group of 400 people that we're connected to. If we were a member of the RSA, that's a closed network. And that's how Clout and Peer Index actually measure you, your influence within that. Social capital, just as a definition, I'll throw this in, is how you advance yourself through your position and your relationship in a social structure. This is all on the slides that you can have, I'm sure that Media 140 will give you. So closed networks are very much around those team environments that you're in. It's a safety. It's where you work very closely together. In the 90s, because I'm old enough to remember it, 80s and 90s, I used to go on lots of bonding trips at work. That was like jumping over fences and doing quad biking together so we had a better relationship with each other. And we had an intimate relationship with each other, which usually ended up in the bar. And that's fine. That's a very important part of social networking and your social capital, is where you are situated in that group, how much you influence and you advocate, and you are RT'd on Twitter. We look at it in practical sense. And that's fine. And Clout and Peer Index and any other are still very, very blunt instruments, but give them 4 or 5 years and there'll be very clear measurements around those, and they'll be very a lot more precise. But what we're forgetting about is what technically, if you look at Burt's theory, 2005, is brokerage and structured holds, or structural holds. And it's very difficult online to measure how we're doing in this environment, because it's not It's not based on algorithms. Because brokerage is all about how we bring groups of people together who wouldn't normally mix. And when I mean that, I still mean your customers. Because some of your customers, we all, using old marketing terms, customer segments, and you'd have 4 or 5. So if you're Ford, you have different segments of customers, don't you? I'm maybe using it as a consumer, but you have different kinds of customers with different demographics and now technographics, our behavior online. There is lots of empirical evidence to suggest that you as an individual, in terms of the way your own income, your own revenue, your career progression, and also that of the brand that you are the custodian of. There's lots of empirical research that suggests you are far more successful if you were mixing these kinds of people together. Why? Because they form an R&D part of your business, because you're bringing people together with new ideas and they're innovating. Okay. You're helping businesses in your sphere, in your network, actually do business with each other, which builds brand and reputation. Builds reputation, credibility, integrity. If you only think about this on an individual basis. And thirdly, it gives you vision, what's called vision advantage, i.e. you find out about lots of things quicker than anybody else. Because we all know when you get an eclectic group of people together, that's the right word, isn't it? And they start talking about things, their experience and their diversity actually starts to bring that about. And the thing that we're missing in social networking online, as well as offline, is this bit. There's nobody from Chambers of Commerce, is there? chambers of commerce and the usual dreary, boring, mundane monologue of business networking that goes on that we, I'm getting attacked by a fly, that goes on, because we've all been there, yeah, is supposed to do this, but it doesn't. Why? Because you rock up, have a bacon sarnie, talk to the accountant that you've talked to four times before that you, sorry, no accountants either. God. And think, what the hell am I doing here? And that's because those groups are not taking, they're just skimming the surface. So it doesn't matter what, all I'm throwing at you today is not go off and do this, it's a must. I'm just trying to throw it into the middle of the room and say, think about it from your own personal career advancement, but also of the brand that you're working for, the company or organization that you're working for at the moment. This happens a lot in science and in research and development in some of the top universities in the world. Medical science does it a lot, where they talk to one another and they're using online tools to do that. Okay? But we're missing a massive part of the research, well, missing a massive part of social capital and the social networking that's going on. And we're all focused on Facebook, that's the fourth time I mentioned it, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and any others that you happen to be that are in your, we're just focused on those. And we're all jumping on the bandwagon, which has already left the station, hoping it's going to sustain our business over the next few years. Is it hell? Because my prediction is Facebook will be dead in 5 years. If it's not dead, it's on its way out. Because you're going to start to see a massive backlash because of the implications of what they did last week. Because Facebook is not a social network anymore. It's where you go and you get marketed to. It's as simple as that. Let's not even go into the privacy issues. What it shows is that if you were use these two together, and this is what the future of social networking will have to do. At the moment, dare I say, social networks are preloaded and primed by algorithm, by the techies, by the geeks. I've got one in my company. And the social science comes afterwards. I don't know who it was, but somebody said, these social networks now are full of social scientists. Are they? Hell, they're full of marketeers. What we have to do is that algorithm and social are very different, but they're very equal. So social networks in the future will very much have to work the two together, and they're not at the moment. You can see that from the big three. But when you've got closed network and brokerage working together, I'm not going to go through this list because there isn't time. I don't even know how long I've been speaking. But you start to get these two things working together, reduce transaction costs and factors for economic growth. And then you get the nice bit on the bottom, which is investment for public and social good, which David Cameron might call big society stuff. But let's not even start on that, because you might venture, I've got a bit of an opinion about that as well. What we need to think about, or what we predict from our research, the reason why the big three and the others that are coming on board, like Spora and all of that, won't be around, there'll be secondary models in the future, is because you and I, around our brands, will have to create our own social networks. I call it the squirrel theory. Basically, what you're doing as a brand, and I've got some clients that have done this, and we're trying to persuade them not to, or trying to persuade them to evolve, is they've jumped onto the social networks. Because there's 500 million or 650 million or however many it is, it changes every week. Or there's 100 million or there's 200 million people supposedly active. There's not 200 million people supposedly actually active. There's not 650 million people active, actually. But they're jumping onto those bandwagons, and they're starting to try and engage with the customers and the closed network that they've got. And some of them have been very successful, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these networks need to go tomorrow at all. But the reason that I call it the squirrel, and you have to excuse the expression here, is because it's basically like a squirrel storing all of his nuts in somebody else, or some other squirrel's tree. All you're doing by having 100,000 followers on Facebook or 2,000 followers on Twitter is putting your database, because that's what it is. It's not a community. A database on somebody else's platform. Facebook, I think that's 6 times. Facebook, 7, is going for an IPO next year because it has to, or it's actually easier for it to do it under American law. Apart from the fact that it's not interested in you and I, it's interested in shareholder value because it's a corporate business, is that it could go tomorrow. It could fail tomorrow, Facebook. Twitter could fail tomorrow, or certainly next week. What we will have to do in the future is create hubs around our own brands, where we are don't have websites, but we have social networks. It's almost a bridge of blogs and websites. And that's what we are encouraging our clients to do. Yes, go and steal customers from these platforms, go and attract and gain some attention, but you've got to have some way of dragging them back. And we've been experimenting for two years now on something called Random, which is locally based in the Southwest, which is basically local business people who come together in a random kind of way, and we show them how social and digital is working together by playing games. We did a treasure hunt last week. 40 people turned up, and it was a bit scary around Lloyd's TSB, but we won't go into that because they got one of the things wrong. But what we're getting at, and this is an intellectual, not that people in Random aren't intellectual, but ThinkLab is for our own business community, where we've created a social network in actually a closed network, so you can't see it, you can't actually get into it. But we're doing lots of experiments with some top leaders of companies in the UK on brokerage. So we're pulling people together in that kind of environment. What we have to remember, and what we're getting from this, we reckon, we've saved around £20,000 on R&D over the last 2 years by using this brokerage method in these two brands, sub-brands of my company. We're still experimenting. There's another 4 randoms to go before we knock it on the head. And with ThinkLab, that'll run on and on and on and on. What we're doing is building reputation and credibility, vision advancement, and we're innovating some of the products that we're launching next year, simply because we've got diverse sets of people into a room together talking to one another about what the future is about. Now, that's our business because that's what we do. You need to think about how you can do that for your business, whatever your sector, your thing is. Because at the end of the day, I don't know whether anybody's heard of Douglas Rushkoff. He wrote a book called Life Inc. I'd recommend you read it, and it's a bit of an eye-opener. What he says is, his latest book is called Program or Be Programmed, and I believe that's what's actually happening if we're not careful with the social networks that are out there at the moment, is that we're being programmed because we don't own it, we don't control it, we don't even influence it. And your jobs as brand leaders and leaders of organizations in the next 2 to 3 years is to work out how you're going to drag yourselves back with a whole load of clients and people back into your own brand hub, your own community, and your own social network.